World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Morning. Just kind of sitting here as we're tipping off here on the ninth day of April, 2025. What time to be alive. Folks, there's stuff going on around us. Like, Bible tells us there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And kind of my focus this morning is as we're getting up here rolling, ready to go. By the way, let's get ready. Spencer, if you could, get Psalm 9 up there for us, if you could, please. Psalm 9 up there. We're in the middle of something going on, man. There's something really, something's happening here, but it isn't exactly clear. And I was thinking of the magnitude of what are we gonna do when the truth really comes to light that so much of what they've taught us simply isn't the truth. I think our history's been messed with. I'd said to somebody before we went live, I just kind of said it in general. You really think we went to the moon? I mean, come on. If we went to the moon, why haven't we gone back? Really believe that? And the Van Allen belt and all this stuff that we're finding out. Really think we went to the moon? Really think the history that they've taught us is really, really true? Because you know what? Look, folks, just truth right now, okay? If we all fell asleep and woke up 20 years from now, let's go 50 years from now. If we woke up 50 years from now, right now, what would be the history that they would write to us about J6? What would be the history? And if there's nobody around to refute it, nobody, the old saying that the victors write the history, right? If there's nobody around to countermand or push back or say, wait, that's not true, it just kind of goes off into oblivion. So you think about where we are, all the interest right now on the Kennedy assassination. Well, many of the people that were involved with the Kennedy assassination, they died off. Are we going to get the truth about that? About going to the moon? Think we really went to the moon? If we went to the moon, why haven't we gone back? 9-1-1. I mean, these are all the big conspiracy theories. And the only thing they can do is call it a conspiracy theory. All they can do is laugh at you, poke fun at you. And that's all they can do. That's all they can do. And hope we die off. And that the history they've told us, which isn't true. You do understand, don't you? That am I going to go there, Lord? That's what's happened with Judaism, you know. Folks, tell me that you understand this, that the Judaism being practiced in the world today is not the Judaism of the day of Christ. Please tell me you understand that. The Kabbalah and all that stuff and Netanyahu. And we try to mix it all in there with the end times. I'm not getting into that debate. I'm simply telling you that so much of what they told us is not true. It's just not true. Just not true. Look at what they're finding with the pyramids. Something underneath the pyramids. Look at where I am, where I live here, what they call Nephilim Central, and all these mounds around here. And somebody a long time ago told us that the Indians built it, and that's become the history. They call it the Hopewell Mounds. The Hopewell Mounds, named after the researcher Hopewell, who did the research. And so the researcher Hopewell, who did the research on the Hopewell Indians, who weren't really the Hopewell Indians, they were a different name, but they named them after Hopewell because he did all the research on it. That's become our history. We call them the Hopewell Indians. And they weren't the Hopewell Indians. They were the Indians that Hopewell told us about. So the old idea that history is written by the victors is really, really true. And I believe that we live in a time in unbelievable unveiling and revealing of what's going on. And I want you to know this. I think this is from the Lord. Hang on. You better dig in, because the upheaval that's going to come when the Luciferians, who've been in control for so long, when the Luciferians have been in control for so long, when they realize that they're losing their grip, when they realize that they're really not in charge, when they realize that they are about to be exposed, when we begin to see that some of the people that we thought were heroes were zeros, the impact that's going to have on us is going to be something, man. I'm just telling you. And I don't know where we are on the end times timetable. Are you looking at me? I couldn't care less. If they told me the rapture was coming on Thursday, it would not change one thing I do. I'm already doing everything that I should do. I think. But see, the end times becomes, it's paralysis. There's an old saying, a football coaching saying, the guy couldn't play very well because he would line up and the defense would shift and he couldn't figure out who to block because the guy that was on him shifted over a man. He didn't know. And we said, dude, stop it. That's paralysis by analysis. Hit somebody. We would tell our guys, listen, I don't care if you block the wrong guy. Block somebody. Hit somebody. And that's where we are. In my opinion, we have paralysis by analysis. There's so much going on, we don't know who to poke. We don't know who to hit. Hit somebody. That's why I love the multifaceted, what am I looking for, team here at Coach Dave Live. And all the different things and all the different issues that people are attacking out there. I love it. My concern is, where's the body? Where's the rest of them? When are the rest of the guys going to get engaged? When's the church? We said yesterday, the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When are we going to show up? When are we going to show up? When are we going to say no to gender bending? No to genital mutilation? No to teaching atheism to our children? No! No! When are we going to do that? And you know, if you get an attitude about yourself that it's only going to get worse, we've had some flooding problems, believe it or not, up at Sky High, because Sky High didn't flood, but the water went down into the spouting. You guys, you don't have the spouting. Sometimes it runs down into the sewer drains and down. Well, I think we had so much rain this weekend that it kind of clogged our sewer pipes. So much rain, right? So much rain. You say, why do you even bring that up? Just because, man, there's all kinds of things clogging our pipes. I'm not talking about Sky High. I'm talking about us. So much clogging our pipes. And I think we're about to get a big flushing. And I think that the big flushing we're going to get is going to be staggering to most of us when we see what's going on. Let's jump in here on Psalm 9. Who wants to read Psalm 9 for us? Because we're still, as you know, we're still praying, fasting. God's will be done. Go ahead, Vinny. Come on in here a second. Oh, you disappeared on me. So pull up, Spencer. I didn't give you the link, I don't think. Or did I, maybe? The Liberty Action Network. Did I put that up in there? Yeah, I did. Liberty Action Network. What's going on with all this flooding? And people have asked me, Coach, are we going to raise some more money? I said, are you kidding me? No. No. Folks, there's something going on, man. As I said, Flip Benham told me God has more disaster than the government has relief. We all see what's going on and we all feel bad about it. And it is what it is, man. It's kind of a sign of we're in a spiritual flood as well. So we're going to pray today on the first of the month, called to fast and intercede for God's will on the earth and in modern day Persia, which is Iran. You know, talking about bombing Iran, bomb, Iran. Remember that, right? So today we're supposed to be, Craig straightened me out yesterday, because it's the ninth day, we're supposed to read Psalm 9. So throw Psalm 9 up there for us, and We'll jump right in here real quickly. Who's going to read Psalm 9 for us out there? Somebody's going to go. Go, Vinny. Go ahead, brother.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all of thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. But mine enemies are turned back.
Hang on, Vinny. Not if, Vinny. When
mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever.
Well, if this is the word of God, dude, it's done. We just got to, they're just waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God to make this happen. Keep going, Vinny. You're doing great.
O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorials perish with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment.
What's he prepared? Hey, Vinny, what's he prepared it for?
Judgment.
And he
shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness.
Oh, isn't that something? Minister justice? Do you think of that? Ministering? Do you think judgment is ministering? Oh, boy.
The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee.
Amen.
Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. He maketh inquisition for blood. He remembereth them. He forgot not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Thou that lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation.
Amen.
The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made.
Wait, where are they, Vinny? They're falling under their own doo-doo. Is that what it says, brother?
That's correct.
The heathen are sunk down into the pit that they made.
In the net which they hid is their own foot taken.
That's why they're going to be squealing so much, folks. That's why they're going to be squealing. All the stuff that they set up and lined up to their what they thought was their advantage is going to be their demise. Go ahead.
The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth.
Oh my.
The wicked is snaring the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah.
See, there it is, folks. What? The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. We are going to see this, and it's going to be an upheaval like we have never experienced. Keep going, Vinny.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God.
Not just the wicked, but all the nations that forgot God. Wow.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight.
Woo, I get goosebumps on that one. Judge the heathen, Lord. Judge them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Put them in fear, O Lord. That the nations shall know themselves be but men, Selah.
Huh? Folks, when's the last time you prayed for fear for them? Put them in fear, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. Let man not prevail. Hey, Lord, hey, let the heathen be judged, Lord. See, we got the opposite gospel going on here in America, don't we? We got the love you gospel, forgive them gospel, who are you to judge gospel. We have the exact opposite gospel of what we're supposed to have because we are at war. And whether you realize it or not, because the church has fallen into the love gospel and has remained silent, we see casualties all around us. Everybody say amen. We see casualties all around us. And the whole creation's groaning, waiting for the men of God to show up. That's the way I read it, fellas.
Amen.
That's the way I read it. Work while the sun shine, for a day cometh when no man can work. Huh? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, if you look for that judgmental God, you can find him. And if there is no judgmental God, the fear of God, if there's no judgmental God, if there's no wrath of God, then why do you need Jesus? Why do you need grace and mercy and forgiveness? Why do you need that? If Jesus wouldn't die on the cross to save you from wrath, there must be some wrath. Why do we preach this? It's the fear. It's not the love of God that drives you to repentance. It's the fear of God driving to repentance, right? So if you line up, just imagine a flood or imagine a fire. We've seen some of those. Imagine the panic in your heart. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you live kind of in a cul-de-sac, and you wake up in the middle of the night and your neighbor's house is on fire and there's a wind blowing, and you're seeing that the wind is blowing the fire your direction, can you imagine the urgency and the fear that you would come over you thinking, Lord, is my house next? Is this going to catch my house on fire? We don't have that attitude, friends. We don't have that attitude. If the judgment of God falls, you better know this. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It falls on the just and the unjust. When all hell breaks loose, it's going to break loose on a lot of good folk too. Oh yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And if you think, if you're basing your whole foundation on the fact that you ain't going to be here for any of that stuff, I'm not arguing about the rapture, where they're going to be. I ain't even talking about that. If you think there ain't going to be a lot of hell break loose before the rapture, and why is it going to break loose? Because judgment begins first at the house of God. We let it happen as if it was the will of God that this thing would be so messy. It was God's will that would really think that? Oh, man. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I have the same attitude every day when I come in here. Every problem I see that we have, we can win. We could be doing something about it. All power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Why would he send you if you didn't have power? See, look, I'm going to equip you with everything you need. Go ye therefore. Where? Wherever. Go ye into all the world. Go into all the... My wife is saying something to me about Tom Dunn this morning. I love my wife. God, I love my wife. I said some. She's talking about Tom Dunn and Freedom Encounters and all that stuff. Hey, folks, why do we have to go to Tom Dunn to understand Freedom Encounters and casting out demons? Why do we have to go to Tom Dunn? Nothing against Tom. I love Tom. Is he the expert? Is he like the brain surgery of demonic possession? He's the only guy we can go to. How come your church isn't teaching you how to cast out demons? How come your church isn't teaching everybody in the church about demon possession, how to counter it, how to recognize it, how it advances? When's the last sermon you had on your church? And Bible, by the way, my Bible says right here that my people are destroyed because they don't know, lack of knowledge. And we see stuff that's going on around us, and we think it's normal, and it's not. It's supernatural. And the whole world's groaning, waiting for God's people to show up and get it, push back against it. But the church won't do that because we're convinced we're leaving. Can I tell you something? I don't know if we are or not. And I say it over and over. If there's a rapture, I'm out. I'll make it. I'll get on. I'll be gone. What if there isn't? I look at our 10 and a half little grandbabies. What? I'm going to leave this mess to them. They're going to pay the price. They're going to pay it. My callousness, my what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to get involved. Just me, my wife, us. What about them? What about us? I mowed some grass yesterday. I always talk to myself a lot when I'm on the lawnmower. And I was just thinking about it. I'm 72 years old. And I began to reminisce as I'm riding on my lawnmower, just reminiscing about what I was doing when I was 16 and what I was doing when I was 20 and what I was doing when I was 30. These things, these memories just kept flooding back to me. And to realize that my little grandkids, they're building a future right now. Don't I care? Do I want their future to be easier or harder? Which one is it? Why am I so self-centered in my faith? Why is it just about me? And I'm going to make it to heaven. What about those around us? Don't we care? Don't we care? Should we care? When's the last sermon you had on your church, in your church, on the demonic and how to counter it and how to recognize it? Should you have to pay to go to seminars to get Tom Dunn to tell you, or Russ Dizdar, the great Russ Diz, late Russ, huh? Really? Really? Like you would go someplace to learn to be a chef? You go to chef school? So now I got to go to demon casting out school? What? That's where we are. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Because I'm, look, as bold and as loud as I may act, when it comes to demon possession and all that stuff, I'm about as ignorant as most anybody is. And that is crazy. I ought to know it. I ought to recognize it. I ought to see it. I ought to know how to counter it. But evil men have crept in unaware. They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Yep, that's what they did to us. Craig, come on in. You've been waiting a minute. Come on in.
Okay, I just want to tie into something that we kind of talked about the other day about, you know, Psalm 8 and Hebrews chapter 2.
Yep.
At the very end here, talks about, and if you pull up verse 20 of Psalm 9, it says, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. So when I read that, I go and I say, well, why does a nation need to know if it's men? If it's men, it should know it's men, right? I mean, you know you're a man, right?
Right.
you get that. But why do the nations need to know? Well, if the nations are the heavenly hosts, the princes of Persia, that we're talking about in Daniel, the watchers, as decrees were made by the watchers in the book of Daniel, when you go and you read Psalm 82, and maybe if you want, you can take a chance to read it. It talks in here about how God stands in the congregation of the mighty amongst the gods. And Psalm 82 ties into Psalm 9, as Psalm 8 ties into Hebrews chapter 2. If you want to read Psalm 82, that's up to you. I'm going to put it in the chat. But the nations, and from my studies, are the heavenly hosts. They are the watchers. They are the ones who were put over to watch over mankind after the flood in Genesis chapter 10, when he divided men amongst the nations, the 70 nations. Okay. You keep hearing the same. I'm just trying to show the congruence in this, in the scriptures.
So Jack just asked a good question there, Craig. Is it the nations or the ethnicities? Is it nations? I mean, I'm not arguing with you.
And well, you could, yes, to a certain degree, because if you go back and read Genesis 10, it says it divides Noah's sons' lineage. Each one is divided, right? And mm-hmm. It goes from Shem and Japheth and Ham, and then it will go and it will list each chronological offspring of one of those three, and then it says, and they were put in their nations. Mm-hmm. It's always ending up in the nations. And this is Michael Heiser stuff. He's talking about, you know, God stands in the assembly and the congregation. Uh-huh. Remember in the book of Job, like, you know, Satan was called and said, hey, you know, everybody's going to come, sons of God. We're all going to have a congregational meeting, right? And he says, where have you been? To and fro earth. So yeah. Michael Heiser's thing was, okay, God actually calls his creation together at times to speak to them. Just like you would have a State of the Union, right, when the president stands in front of all elected representatives, House right. and Senate. So my point is not really necessarily to get into this today on your show. My thing is to put this thought in your mind. And then when Michael Heiser talks about the unseen realm, these are actually linked because it talks about how these gods are going to die like men. These nations. Well, yeah, I mean, all men die because we're appointed to die, right? So why would that be in the scripture if it's not talking about something else besides a man?
Hey, Craig, would you agree with me? Would all of you out, excuse me, would everyone, you don't all have to agree with me, that for the most part, the body of Christ is illiterate. Maybe that's not the proper word to use. But the body of Christ really has no idea, really, about Christianity, spiritual warfare, kings of this earth setting themselves, rulers taking counsel together again. Or how about this Psalm 82, which is up on the screen right now. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Let me just, what the heaven does that mean? What the heaven does that mean? God stands in the congregation of the mighty. So I got several questions that I would ask. This is the way I read the Bible, okay? The way I read it. God stands. Where is the congregation? And who is the congregation? And who are the mighty? And what made them mighty? Do you guys read the Bible like that? That's the way I read the Bible. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Where are they, Lord? I'd like to be with them. Can you tell me where they are? Because it seems to me that if I want to find you, Lord, I got to find them. I got to find the congregation of the mighty. Where are they, Lord? Where are they? How long will you, oh my goodness, how long will you judge unjustly? The Holy Spirit says. And how long will you accept the persons of the wicked? Wait a minute. I thought God is love. We got to love everybody. We tolerate, we're diverse. We just love everybody. Come, everybody come. Well, see, folks, it goes counter to what the gospel says. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Are we doing that? Hang on. Is the body of Christ doing that? They know not. Neither do they understand. Who? Who? The wicked. The poor and the needy. They're caught in the hand of the wicked and they don't even know it. They don't even understand it. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of whack. Somebody say amen. Vinny, that'd be a big boom. Mm-hmm. All the foundations of the earth are out of whack.
Amen.
They're off course. And I said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. In other words, talking about the authority of God's children by his Holy Spirit. You are gods. Not big G. You are the ones through whom he is going to operate. You are the children of the Most High. But you're going to die like all men. And you're going to fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth. You shall inherit all nations. And think about how non-judgmental the American church is. That's our mess, right? That's our mess. That's our mess. Somebody asked me the other day, maybe it was my wife, who I love more than anything in this world. Honey, she said to me, quit talking about that stuff because there isn't anybody going to do anything about it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anybody going to do anything about it? Hey, Spencer, pull this up real quick. I'm going to just run down through quit trashing Obama. Quit trashing Obama. It's not about Obama. It's about the spirit that's controlling Obama. All right? I don't know who put this together. I'm not going to read all of it. Quit trashing Obama's accomplishments. He's done more than any other president before him. Here's a list of impressive accomplishments. I believe he was an emissary of hell. Barack Hussein Obama, the man with three Muslim names sitting upon the Christian nation of America. First president to be photographed smoking a joint. First president to apply for college aid as a foreign student and then say he wasn't a foreigner. First president to have a social security number from a state that he never lived in. First president to preside over a cut to the credit rating of the United States. First president to violate the War Powers Act. First president to be held in contempt of court for illegally obstructing oil drilling in New Mexico. First president to require all nations to purchase product from a third party. First president to spend $1 trillion on shovel-ready jobs when there was no such thing as shovel-ready jobs. First president to abrogate bankruptcy. I could go on and on and on and on in the whole world waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God to get rid of. First president to cancel the National Day of Prayer and to say that America is no longer a Christian nation. First president to have a law signed by Otto Penn. First president to arbitrarily, excuse me, scroll up. I'm sorry, declared an existing law unconstitutional and refused to enforce it. First president to threaten insurance companies if they spoke out for reasons of the rate increase. First president to tell a major manufacturing company in the state it's not allowed to locate. First president to file lawsuits against states he swore an oath to protect. First president withdrawn, on and on and on and on and on and on. The whole world groaning, waiting for the manifestation, sons of God. First president to appoint 45 czars to replace elected officials. First president to surround himself with radical left-wing anarchists. First president to hide his birth, medical, educational, and travel records. Somebody say amen out there. Huh? See, we're just reaping the fact that we didn't stand up. We're reaping the fact that we let this Muslim demonic freak make it into the highest office in the land, and many Christians voted for him.
Boom.
Because many Christians were just as Christian as he was. Huh? First president to keep a dog trainer on retainer for $102,000 a year. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. He's been getting under the table money from USAID in the millions of dollars. Hmm? Natural born. First president to fly a personal trainer from Chicago once a week at taxpayer expense. On and on and on. Okay, I don't want to beat up on them. This is where we are. And folks, about time the other team showed up, isn't it? That's kind of where I am. I know I'm all over the place this morning. I know I am. I let me give you some good news here. Can I give you some good news here real quick? Pull up cancer treatments for me. Pull this up for me. I want to give you some good news. Folks, they've lied to us. That's the theme of today's show. They've lied to us. It just says can't. There it is. Okay, hey, folks, here's your protocol. You worry about cancer? Here's your protocol. Intermittent fasting, 6 hours a day. Avoid sugary foods and eat ketogenic diet. 2, vitamin D3, minimum of 5,000 to 10,000 per day. If you want to get rid of cancer, because cancer is our parasites. That's what it is. Zinc. People telling you to take zinc? You go to the doctor with cancer, they give you zinc? No, they sure don't do that, do they? I'll put this in the chat. CBD oil, taken orally. Mushrooms, different types affect different cancers. Turkey tail mushrooms, capsules. Oh, if you want some more information on that, I can refer you to somebody who's using mushrooms to kill cancers. Berberine, I don't even know what it is. Ivermectin. What? Ivermectin. Folks, they've been lying to you because the medical system, what they call those pharmaceutical companies, they want you sick. Ain't no money in health. Ain't no money in being healthy. Ivermectin, based on weight, best absorbed, taken with or shortly after a fatty food. Finbendazole, vitamin C infusions. You hear any of this stuff? They've lied to us. Here's a pill. Take the pill. Take this pill. We'll pay you for it. Keep you sick. Yeah. Pull up the gay pride. I'm going to open. I'm all over the place. I don't care. I'm all over the place today. Pull up gay pride. By the way, on Friday, I asked David Arthur. He did a great presentation in Wisconsin. I said, David, I don't know about your sex. I don't want to tell us how they're grooming us. Okay, folks, you ready? There's no pride in the gay life. These are facts. Gays are 1% of the population, if that. So in your public school, they're teaching gayism, but won't teach Christianity. What percent of Americans are Christians? 60, 70%? Gays are 33% of the child molesters. In fact, that's how they recruit. They have 67% of all AIDS cases, and they are 78% of all sexual disease. Why is that? Because a lot of their sex, focuses around the garbage disposal. They have lifespans 20 years shorter than normal. Why would we want to teach this to our children? 28% of gay men have had 200 partners or more. 22% of children who had lesbian mothers have been sexually molested by a parent or other adult. Can you make it a little bit bigger? I'm having a hard time saying it, Spence. Thank you. Gays, rape and sexual assault before age of 16 are strongly correlated with homosexual behavior. Gays believe that the body's waste disposal unit is a sex organ. This is why homosexuality, I cannot read it. I may have to pull it up on one screen. Hang on a second. Hold it up here so I can see it. I can't. This is why homosexual treatment, Western history, has been classified as a mental disorder, a criminal offense, in order to protect children from this dangerous behavior. Folks, throughout all of history, homosexuality was a mental disorder, and children were protected from it. Suicide levels among gays are significantly higher than heterosexuals. Do we love our children? Homosexuality is 3 times more fatal than smoking or being fat. That's a lot to be proud of, isn't it? And it's a lot to be teaching our children about. And look, I know I'm all over the place today. I'm trying to show you what it is we're up against in the unveiling and the revealing of truth that we're all about to see. Come on in, Craig.
So I just want to talk about some things to put in the chat, because you mentioned something and it's kind of just triggered my mind. So who was the president? Because we're talking about Iran, right? We're going to go to negotiations with Iran on Saturday about nuclear program, right?
Yep.
Okay. So who flew cash in a jet? It actually was under $400 million, because anything over that, you'd have to go to Congress. Obama. Remember, he flew the jets with the cash?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So why did Biden want to get out of Afghanistan so quickly? Because he wanted to release the money on September 11th. I put it in the chat. Does September 11th ring anybody's,
Wow. Name?
Okay. Because what we think of September 11th of 2001, I think of September 11th of George Bush Sr. when he talked about a new world order.
Mm.
When he sat and made his speech to Congress about this new world order on September 11th, 1990.
Poppy Bush.
Correct. And so this whole thing is coming back around. And what is it dealing with? Iran. Iraq. Hmm. And that's why this Prince of Persia, Daniel's fasting, how the Prince of Persia kept this glorious man from chapter 10, his message, he hindered that glorious man. That's what he said. He had to fight the Prince of Persia. And Michael had to come help him. He couldn't do it on his own. Gabriel couldn't do it on his own. He had to have Michael to come. So what I'm saying is there is a spiritual connection to all this in the headlines of the news, if you did connect some of the dots.
Amen. 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 Let me connect the dot here for you. Pull up number 10. All the stuff we're going to find out, folks. Hang on. Denny Bryan's got his hand up. Come on in, Denny. Good to hear from you, Denny.
Pray you do. I just wanted to say that now that I've been home a lot, I've been watching a lot of documentaries. The one thing on documentaries on all the different wars, whether it was World War One, II, Korean, whatever, everything had the same thing in common. All these, whether it was Germany or Russia or whatever, they want, and England, they all wanted a one world government. That's been all along. They wanted to conquer and have, Satan's trying to get a one world government, and he'll use Germany, he'll use England, he'll use anybody he can use.
Yes, sir. Amen, man. That's what's going on. The kings of this earth, Psalm 2. Put it up there, Spence, please. Psalm 2. Well, I don't know why we can't read and reason and think and see what's going on. Why the heathen rage and the people imagine a thing, vain thing? Because the kings of the earth set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Don't you see the division? We have a worldly government trying to overthrow the King of Kings. And the purpose of God's kingdom on earth, the reason God's children are here, we are ambassadors from a heavenly world into this earthly realm, and we're to take captive. We're to take captive. We're to subdue this kingdom that he set up here. But the church has, the Supreme Court threw the church out of the, in 1947, separation between the church and state, kick God out, Luciferians rush in, and here we sit as Christians, the majority of people in the United States of America, on the outside, looking in, being ruled by non-Christians. How did that happen? Well, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers took counsel together. Why? Because there's a life and death thing, man. It's about heaven and hell. It's about eternity. It's about God's kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. But the church doesn't believe his will is going to be done on earth. We have focused on the end rather than occupy till I come. I'm going to go up and see my wife, who I love so much. I'm going to go up and see her. She says, honey, you say the same thing over and over. And I said, damn it. I know I do. Because the cure is always the same. The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers are taking counsel together against. Folks, there's the battle. There's a team against the Lord and against those on his team. There's the battle. What does it say? Well, let's roll over and let them have some. No. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Evidently, they're tying us up somehow. I don't know what's going on. The Lord sits in heaven, he laughs. Are you kidding me? He said, you wait till the manifestation sons of God show up. You wait till they show up. And all creation's groaning, waiting for it. Vinny.
Hey, Coach. Craig mentioned George Bush's speech back in 1990. Well, he said another thing in that speech, right? Besides the 1,000 points of light, he said they're appealing to the rule of law, not the rule of the jungle.
Vinny, we ought to go back. I ought to go back and get that speech. Maybe I'll do that, or maybe you can dig it up for me. That probably would be something that when George Bush, Pappy Bush, said for the first time that they were creating a new world order. He actually said that, did he not, folks?
Yes, he did.
He actually said it. Vinny, maybe you can search that out even right now as we're. I don't know if you can. I don't have time to do it.
And when we're successful, and we will be.
And we will, huh? I'm telling you, he told us. Huh? The kings of this earth set themselves, and then they gave us his son, and then 9/11 blows up, and then we're in the Middle East, and then it's all about Israel. We Christians think that. Well, what if the devil's lying to us, man?
Well, that was the speech of panic, Coach, because he was appealing to the rule of law, which they've subverted. They knew they subverted enough that they can control things. They know, Coach, they can't control the rule of the jungle. The rule of the jungle is the rule of the jungle, baby.
That's right. That's why I'm trying. I guess what I'm trying to get to, we better get, there's an upheaval coming, folks. I saw last night, I don't believe what I see. You know, I don't always, supposedly, they keep saying this. Something's coming out today that we're going to go, ugh. Now, my wife would say, I don't care what comes out. What are they going to do about it? And that's a great question, isn't it? Because we've sat around, we've let them seize. We need some public hangings right out in front of everybody. This guy did this. Let's find the most famous traitor that we can. Let's hang him publicly. Let's do it. Let's hang him publicly. So others will know that they're not supposed to do that. Okay, let me jump into a couple of things. Cheryl put that New World Order clip in there. See if you can find it. How long is that, you suppose? Go ahead, Craig, while we're going through this. How long is that thing? Yeah, go ahead, play that. Here it is. Here it is. Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl, I'm going to send you a little sticker for your helmet. Go ahead.
What's at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law.
So I say we must clean the house of white America of racism. Americans who are in the white majority should be proud to stand up and be heard denouncing the sort of racist rhetoric we heard on that tape, so loudly and clearly denouncing it that our black fellow citizens can hear us. White racism may be black people's burden, but it's white people's problem. We must clean our house.
Hey, folks. Hey, folks, are you looking at me? There are two races. Those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And they're just trying to distract us with all this other stuff, the way I see it. All right, who wants to get in here? I got more I want to say. Go ahead, Craig.
Going back to George Bush, Pappy, right? He said diverse nations. Is he talking about countries, or is he talking about spiritual realm, skull and bones, 322 stuff? So let me give you the timeline of what they have done. 11 years from that speech, his son sits in office when the towers fall.
Yep.
On September 11th, 2001. On September 11th, 2012, Obama and Hillary sit in the White House while Benghazi goes. And what did the Arab Spring? The whole Middle East. You move all them Muslims into Europe, right? And across the world. 11 years later, on September 11th in 2023, Biden releases the $6 billion. Where did that $6 billion come from? Well, would that be with Jimmy Carter and the hostages? Remember Ted Koppel, hostage industry? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we grabbed their assets, and we said, you can't have these assets because you took these Americans hostage. And what the United States did is they held those assets. And guess what? They paid them interest as if they invested it in the stock market. They didn't return what they took. They gave them what they had with investments. That's why it was $6 billion. It wasn't $6 billion when they took it in 78. That's why Jimmy Carter dying and the Camp David Accord. This is all tied back to what was going on in 78. And this is the timeline of world events. And September 11th ties into the initial telling you what they're going to do.
Boy.
Every 11 years after George Bush made that speech, something happened.
The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Did you say, Spencer, put that up there again because people don't get it. Put that up there again. Right there it is, the game plan, and the church doesn't get it. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. There's the two seeds. Right there it is. The new world order. What? In order to have a new world order, you have to overthrow the old world order, which was Christ as king. Christ was king in the old world order. They need a new world order where there isn't any Christ. The kings of the earth are the new world order. That's where it's all been heading. Oh, I got some stuff I got to show you here in a minute, but I want to hear from Randy. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I suggest this. I say that Jesus already has broken them with the rod of iron by his first advent. He finished it, Coach. He sat down and took all authority. He's not waiting to get more authority, is he?
No.
No.
He's already got all of it.
Authority belongs to Christ. Everything else is subject to him. The nations, it says that the prophecy was in Psalms was that the Father would give him the nations as his inheritance. So what's left? Here's the object. Here's the mission of the church. It's to go therefore and disciple the nations. We're not fighting for them, Coach. They are owned by Christ. There's a squatter on those on the land, and there's evil on the land that's keeping the church, the kingdom of God, from advancing. Guess Amen. What happens when you disciple the nations? And Coach, by the way, do you have to go anywhere to disciple them? They're right here amongst
right
us.
Here.
So,
Brandon, they're looking at me right now. Some of them are looking at me right now.
If you look at this as a future event, then you're defeated. If you look at it as Christ already conquered them, it's up to us, the church, to now go. Thank you, Angie. Go, church. That is the mission. And when you disciple them, Coach, righteousness replaces unrighteousness. Justice replaces injustice. Truth and mercy come. Do we not understand what happens when we go on the land and we go, church, Coach? I don't think we see the fruit of it in the big picture. It all changes when we go and we be obedient. You know, the only two things that that Joshua told them back in Numbers, I think 14, he said, there are bread. The enemies are bread. God is giving them to us. The only reason we won't defeat them is because rebellion and fear. That is our enemy, Coach. It isn't the devil. It's rebellion and fear. That's the only reason. When we're obedient and bold, we take ground. And that's all we got to do, Coach, if we're willing.
Now, Randy, not if we're planning on getting out of here. That's the way I see it. Vinny.
Oh, Coach, you guys are hitting it today. Now, you just saw Bubba, Slick Willie, say what he said about racism, right?
Yeah.
Well, does that really make sense, guys? I mean, do you really feel like you're being racist, or are you reacting to stupid people doing stupid things?
That's right. So, hey, Vinny, it ain't got nothing to do with skin color.
No.
If you're black and you're acting like a fool, you're acting like a fool.
You're
white, you're acting like a fool, you're acting like a fool.
Yeah, yeah. So my question is this. Is what they term racism more important than the well-being of our children?
Yeah. It's a distraction, Vinny.
It's all a distraction. Right. What are they really doing? What are they doing? So it's a limited hangout. They're telling you it's racism.
Vinny, how much more government money has to go to black community to pull them out of poverty? Come on, Vinny. How much more? Come on, folks.
How about we just teach them education? What did they do all this time? They made us the stupidest people on earth.
They did. We let them do it. We trapped them in those black inner city schools, no parents, no mommy, no daddy, right? And then we called it racism. Dudes, come on. I got to move on. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The reason why the deep state does what they do is because they don't recognize the Constitution of the United States as original.
Yeah.
They're under the New World Order. That's who they're obeying.
We are.
So we understand that what they're doing when they take money from taxpayers and then funnel it to all their programs is treason. It's
treason,
not the Constitution that we know. And the church needs to wake up and realize that this is a spiritual thing. This is a demonic, satanic New World Order.
The kings of this earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together in USAID. That's what they do. And we're not smart enough to see what's going on.
And instead of just trying to pass legislation, we need to draw a line and say, this is treason. You walk over it, you're going to wind up hanged.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's some stuff coming that's going to shake us. Joe Allen.
What did President Trump said he was going to do when he went to D.C.? Clean the swamp?
Yep.
Isn't that what we need to do with our church? We need to clean the swamp out of our church.
There are a lot of swamps, that's brother. It. Johnny.
Yeah, just not to forget about the roots of which this country was founded on. We are innocent until proven guilty, not the latter. You know, and the enemy, that's all they do is try and flip-flop it the other way.
That's right.
That's not of God's doing. That's of Satan, the enemy.
Hey, Johnny. I'm already racist, whether I am or not. I'm already labeled that. Anytime I speak out against something has to do with race or Israel or anything like that, I'm anti-Semitic, I'm anti-black. Are you guys with me? It's how they've programmed us, you see. Angie, come on in.
I hope you can hear me, Coach. I'm at the gym, so I'm hoping you can hear me. Okay.
Hear
So I wanted to talk about, this is my week, okay? This is me going into the battlefield, and this is what I'm doing this week, okay? Tuesday night, I was on a Zoom conference call for my local board of trustees who are trying to figure out how to fund our social club, okay? I'm involved there. Tonight I'm going to the Fairfield County Conservatives group. I'm actually invited a woman who's running for governor of Ohio to that group, okay? I'm going to go meet her. I'm going to go talk with her. I'm going to go look her in the eye and find out where her heart is, okay? So she's coming to the group Wednesday night in Fairfield County. Tomorrow night I will be in Franklin County at the Delaware and Franklin County Conservative group, listening to one of their speakers and seeing what they're doing and finding out what's happening. And then the rest of my week, Friday, Saturday, we're getting ready for Passover. But this is what I'm talking about when I say go into the battlefield. This is what I'm talking about. You not only have to go to the places where these dark entities exist, but you've got to help go motivate, raise up, and get other people in the game as well. And so this is what I talk about. Everybody wants somebody else to do the dang work instead of going out and starting to network with your people and getting this stuff done. And it doesn't happen from your prayer closet. Absolutely pray, read your imprecatory prayers, and then get off your knees and get in the trenches. Get in the trenches, get in the battlefield.
Amen. Amen. See, Angie, one of the problems is we don't really know where to find our team. Where's our team? That's one of the things that we're trying to put together here. But the truth of the matter is, we're not even close to each other. We're in different states. But we have to become Angie's and Craig's. And
Make your team. Go build your team up.
To make your team. Folks, we will encourage you. We will inspire you. We'll bring resources to you. But at some point, you got to make your team. You got to make your team, because the kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Okay, I'm going to show you this. For those of you who don't have anything going on, pull up number 6 for me. You want to watch something? At the end of it, you're going to go, oh wow, this is 5 hours, lost history. Just play a couple minutes of this. Put it in the chat. I don't expect you to sit down and watch it for 5 hours, okay? The lost history of the flat earth. You don't have to agree with all of it. Moving forward, just pull a clip of it up, Spence.
It doesn't add up. And all it takes is a closer examination and their lies, which have governed our understanding of history and the world since our birth, begin to fall apart. Let's stir the mind with a few contemplations. We are told that the first true power tool was invented in 1895, when a German company combined an electric motor with a manual drill. The drill weighed 16.5 pounds and required multiple operators. It wasn't until 1957 that a company called Bosch began designing power tools in bulk that were both economical and powerful. So then how did our historical ancestors, a more primitive, underdeveloped people, design and build some of the structures we encounter? What about all the gigantic monolithic stones we encounter that have been cut with such precision? Ask yourself, could you repeat this today with the arsenal of equipment we have at our disposal? And what about the magnificent ancient stepwells of the East? Stepwells, we are told, were multi-storied wells built by our primitive ancestors as ways to preserve the water supply during droughts. But look at the intricacy and complexity of these structures. Look at the glory and the finesse. Look at the geometric precision. All dug out and crafted from using hand tools. Yeah, right. What about the gigantic canal networks we find all over the world? The Erie Canal in America was allegedly built between 1817 and 1825. There were no civil engineers in America at this time. The people responsible for planning construction were novices, we are told. The canal is 12 meters wide and 4 meters deep. The Erie Canal spans 363 miles. But this was not just a case of digging each day for the Irish immigrants and their oxen companions. They had to fell hundreds of trees as they passed through the virgin forest. They had to build complicated aqueducts and locks. And they had to pass through the Niagara Escarpment, an 80-foot high wall of hard limestone. They had to use black powder to blast through this, we are told, as dynamite had yet to be invented. The canal spans 363 miles and was constructed over an 8-year period. This means that on average, 1 mile was completed every 8 days. What a record, especially since okay, those responsible were novices.
Put in the chat. But folks, this kind of stuff just fascinates me, right? Why? Because the kings of this earth have set themselves and they write the history. They write the history. And 100 years from now, what's the history they're going to write about J6? What's the history they're going to write about the moon landing? What? Wow. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. We're in the midst of the greatest unveiling and revealing the world's ever seen. Buckle up. See you tomorrow.